Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and today, we're off to see The Wizard.
Yes. Yes, we are.
We're out of the woods and somewhere over the rainbow. You know, if I only had a brain, or a heart, I might just do the jitterbug out of joy. Ding dong! Who's there? The witch. The witch who? Ding dong, the witch is dead!
No.
If I were king of the forest, that would actually be funny.
Oh, nice. I'm still with you, but okay.
Yeah. Well, I made that sentence naturally knowing that no one was going to laugh at the other one.
Well, of course. Yeah. You need the punchline.
Huh. Exactly. Yeah,
yeah. Or did you write that in just in case no one laughed?
It was an optional line, of course.
I think it would have been better if you had sang it like the lion.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. See, she's going to be
better. Okay. We're king of the forest. That would actually be fun.
That was Dave Lane playing the line.
Yeah. So joining us today is the usual unusually angry apple trees and ravenous flying monkeys, including Kevin, if I only had a Hamilton ticket, Jager.
I thought you were going to say friend of Dorothy Jager, but I like
no.
Oh, right.
Right. Yeah. You're a gay people.
Yes. Excuse me.
I forgot. That he was gay? Or?
No, that he was gay.
We also have our game master and unofficial babysitter of the hour, Kimberly.
Hello.
And with us, today are a pair of guests who are leaders in the indie theater scene here in New York. One was cast member in The Woodsman and associate artistic director of Strangeman & Co. The other starred in The Woodsman, but also is the writer and creator of the show. Let's give a big Broadwasted welcome to new friends of the show.
Friends of the show.
Amanda Lederer and James Ortiz.
Woo!
But there's a boatload of social media to list off for them, so I'm just going to say you can follow them at Strangeman Co., at Woodsman Play, and you go to strangemencompany.com. We will post everything else on our Twitter.
Yes. You could also find us on Facebook. Facebook.
I love Facebook still.
Yeah. What are you drinking?
I think I'm having
you're this one.
Tequila silver with some pomme de mousse in it.
Yep.
Grapefruit juice and French. A drop of lemonade because I needed a little sweet sugariness.
Good call.
Some little
awesome.
Beyonce.
Because I'm a nice lady.
Clearly. I also am drinking tequila silver, and I've got Hansen's tangerine lime.
They think they call that an umbop.
I beg your
pardon.
A what?
What? Hansen's.
Oh. Spelled wrong, though. Spelled
right.
Wrong.
I know.
Yeah.
Is there an O?
Oh, they spelled it an O.
It's an O.
It's an O.
Yeah.
They're Hansons.
Yeah.
You know they're still making
the Hansons.
They Hansons. Just recorded an album.
Say that again. That's worth saying again.
What? They just recorded an album.
They're still going.
Yeah.
What?
They're amazing.
Let's umbop our way to the first segment of our show entitled
that.
"What Have You Seen This Week?"
What have you seen this week?
Oh,
so this week I got the chance to go to the Broadway.
Kevin,
I did.
What?
Brian, don't get too excited.
Yeah.
I saw Heisenberg. Mary Louise Parker is in it, and
Dennis Art.
Nancy Botwin.
Yeah, it is a very Nancy Botwin-esque performance. It is just a two-person play. It is a middle-aged woman and an older man. And the play starts when she's randomly kissed him on the back of the neck in a subway platform.
Yep.
Just
because she thought she knew who he was and that it wasn't the person she thought.
Oh.
That's awesome.
And then it becomes like an entire... It's an 80-minute piece with no intermission.
Just the two of them in the subway?
Just the two... No, it like goes through like a series of time after that because they end up like connecting and then having some kind of relationship.
Oh, wow. Did you enjoy it?
I did. I had a really good time. It was interesting because my seat was on stage. Because they actually put, like, bleachers on the stage so that the stage is almost forced to be from two sides. So that gave it, like, a very voyeuristic feel, which I think was nice for a two-person
play.
It was, like,
play.
Yeah, exactly.
Kevin loves those big words.
I know. I'm all about them big words. So it gave, like, a very kind of, like... Because the story itself is a little jarring. Like, both of them are kind of jarring personality people, which is why it, like... kind of plays weird but great as a two-person alone on stage, just both being their absurd selves.
Yeah.
And seeing how that plays out. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was, like, fun and a different kind of piece. I couldn't have probably sat through two acts of it, so I think it was a good decision to do an 80-minute piece. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was really just, like, it made me think, which I like when you leave a theater and you're thinking about something. So I really enjoyed it.
Have you seen Hamilton this week?
I didn't see Hamilton, but, so when I'm not on the podcast...
You have a story?
I do. So when I'm not on the podcast, or writing, I have to make my living, and so I work as a waiter at a restaurant, and...
Best Facebook statuses, like,
they
I
come out of nowhere.
Cannot even tell you...
Who, so, Kevin's?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So I love them.
So especially when you are...
I thought you were just, like, generically talking about, like...
No, Kevin. Kevin has really good Facebook statuses.
So today... They always make I worked a breakfast shift, so I was in 8 a.m., and I'm working outside, and I get this table of five middle-aged women. And they're, like, looking at the breakfast menu and doing the whole, we're ready to order, but I don't know what I want. Do you know what she wants? I'm not really sure. Like, talking back and forth. And then the one goes, you know what? I'm just going to have an avocado toast, and then I'll be satisfied. And her friend goes, you will never be satisfied. You will never be satisfied. Like, singing Hamilton at her. And so I looked at her, I was like, yes, nice Hamilton reference. And she goes, have you seen it? And I turned to her, I was like, no, not yet. And she goes... I flew from Phoenix, Arizona to see that show. You live here. What's your excuse?
And then you vomited.
And then you'd be like, I'm a waiter.
I was just like, I'm working breakfast, ma'am.
You also know that I touch your food first, right?
But she did. She threw so much Hamilton shade at me, and I was just not really happy about that.
That's good.
But it was also offset by the fact that I was really entertained that this woman, like, gave it and sang to her friend, part of Satisfied. But then she turned it around and, like, handle shamed me, and I was really sad about it. So it was, like, a funny and a sad story.
You know, something... This is funny because someone tweeted at us that they... searched Satisfied. They were looking for the song Satisfied. I don't know if it was actually on Twitter or if it was a Google search or whatever. And the things that came up were Hamilton, because that's the song they were looking for, and then The Woodsman. Someone had, like, hashtag satisfied, I guess, after seeing the show.
That's cool.
So
that's
we have, like, we're a little connected here.
Oh, so there you go.
Yeah.
So you're Hamilton.
Yeah, so, like, we are Hamilton.
They're the Hamilton of all Broadway.
Basically.
We are Hamilton. Have you guys seen anything this week?
I actually saw Bedlam.
Yes!
Bedlam Theatre Co. Oof. And I went.
And was there Pride and Prejudice? Or a Sense of Sensibility?
Sorry, a Sensibility. Pride and Prejudice is something they're working on.
Yeah,
on
but Kate Hamill wrote it.
Kate Hamill wrote it, exactly. Yes. Yeah, it was that production. It was really cool. It's her adaptation of Sensibility, but it's done very physically, actually in a Woodsman-esque style. Mm-hmm. And it's really big and bouncy and fun and odd, and it was definitely the entire book, and it was like, I need more wine if we're going to do the whole book.
Yeah.
So you just kind of needed, like, either one more intermission or somebody with a platter or something. but it was really great, really clear and really crisp, and they have these huge moments of big, crazy theatricality and really kind of, like, playing to the footlights kind of humor, like, really, like, getting into people's faces and making fart jokes, like, just silly.
Yeah.
So I'm excited, because they've been doing that for, like, ever.
Ever.
Yeah, I've been meaning to see it every time it comes
yes,
back.
Yes, yeah. Yes. It's really, really fun. I'm curious what they do with Pride and Prejudice, which is a story I like more than Sense and Sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more oomphy.
Sense and Sensibility definitely is like the sillier one, though.
It feels that way.
Yeah, like if they're going to do that, that one makes more sense. Where
yes.
Pride and Prejudice, like, you
I mean,
need
take
that,
yourself
like,
a little more
so
seriously.
So what you're telling me is
yeah.
Sense
yeah.
and Sensibility makes more sense, and Pride and Prejudice is a little more prideful.
Correct, yeah.
I would say it makes less sense, I would argue.
Yeah. Less sense.
Less sense.
A little
because
more
it's a little
that's
funnier.
True.
It's just like, a, it's again, it's the same thing.
You might even say non-sensibility.
Kevin, you're fired.
I'm sorry. I'll see y'all later.
Yeah. Cool. And so you'd highly suggest that to people?
I would definitely say go see it. I'm so curious what she'd do with Pride and Prejudice. That's my big question next.
Pride and Prejudice will be interesting because so many people have touched it.
Yes.
Like, that material has been done a million different ways,
mm-hmm.
but all kind
of
the same.
Colin Firth.
Well, that's
it's funny. I talk about Keira Knightley. I have a lot
Me?
Of funny questions with her in a lot of ways because she talks like through her bottom jaw, which is fine if you're into that. But I liked that version. So
Me too.
It was a great
yeah.
version.
I really
yeah.
enjoyed, and I think the expectations of that Keira Knightley version
mm-hmm.
are very much based on the Colin Firth version.
Oh, for
so
sure.
So you went into the movie version thinking, like, you know what? It's not going to be this version,
yeah.
the masterpiece or whatever
yeah,
it was.
Yeah. Like
and
an
then,
8 hours.
Yeah.
The exhaustive.
Yeah.
yeah. And all of a sudden you come
technology.
In and you'll get, after 2 hours of Pride and Prejudice, like, they really hit it out of the ballpark.
Yeah.
Competing with your memory of what you love for those 8 hours.
Yeah.
Or just from the book.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
In the complete opposite of that, Kimberly and I saw On Your Feet this
yes,
week.
We did.
How was that?
On
Your
Feet. We were on our feet.
Were you?
You know what?
We
they delivered what they promised.
Uh-huh.
We our butts came off. We were
yeah.
on our feet.
Yeah, the like the last 5 minutes are just a Gloria Estefan mega mix. The
yeah.
quickest quick change. Of all time. She
for Anna Villafante was Gloria Estefan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
So
it
she
was
changes
pretty impressive.
Out of the blue AMA Awards dress into a like high-waisted red pants crop top jacket scenario in a blackout.
What?
Yes.
That's Broadway.
I have a friend that worked
and, like, took
wardrobe
her
for
down.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, your friend worked wardrobe on
yeah,
On Your Feet?
Yeah, he did wardrobe with them.
Whoa, that's
yeah.
a job right there.
He said it was pretty intense and awesome.
Yeah.
Was it like a Laura Osnes Cinderella breakaway thing? We have no idea.
We don't
no.
know. It's in the dark.
It was a blackout, but
what
I did notice.
And she just changed in the dark.
So
was
here's what did
what
happen.
What if Anna Villafane
right.
got her
a body double like Hillary?
Yeah,
like Hillary's body double.
Yeah.
Brian,
yeah.
did you notice?
Oh, the movie Dave. I would love to see Dave the musical.
I don't know why.
I don't even know what that is.
Like, I actually want Sigourney Weaver. Isn't that the one with Sigourney Weaver?
Yes.
Yeah, Sigourney
yes.
Weaver
yes.
And no.
Alien?
Well, Kevin Klein plays
the
president.
Plays the president. She's the
but
yes.
she's the wife who, like, knows, recognizes.
She figures
like,
out it's not him, and
yeah.
then she's like, I like you more.
I would
yeah.
want to see it if Sigourney Weaver was in it.
It's a beautiful movie, to be honest.
That's really.
Because that I would be in the front row crying every 5 minutes.
Right. Who would you cast as Dave?
I still don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you have to
I know
like,
now the
like,
movie you're talking about,
like
but I have never seen
movie
it.
From the 90s
you
where,
do,
like,
you
the Jamie. President. It's like the cutest movie from the 90s where the president, I think he has a heart attack from like he's like having sex
with his,
or something.
Yeah, yeah, with
crazy.
His
he dies
mistress.
With a heart attack.
And
he
switches with his
like
body double.
Thing.
I was
oh,
going to say, it sounds
oh,
like
okay.
a political prince in the pauper.
And then.
Well, it's just a guy who looks like him. It's not even related.
Yes.
And he becomes president.
Yeah, it's totally silly. It's like a 90s silly thing. And Sigourney Weaver the first lady.
Yeah.
Who's like, I suspect that you might not be my husband.
Yeah, and she's like, let's go for a sandwich.
I'll
she's like, well, I can order
what.
It. And
yeah.
he's like, no, let's go out.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm falling in love all over again.
Yeah, yeah.
All you do is take me for a sandwich.
So who plays Dave?
I would cast Robert Blair.
Oh,
Robert
yeah.
Blair's Dave
but
would be
and
amazing.
Who?
Or Kevin Klein. Or just straight up
go Kevin Klein. Just go Kevin Klein. Just go Gold.
I think Robert Blair's a really
Robert
good
Gordon
choice.
Would be great.
Wow.
Just because
I
he
really would
the
see that,
to it, like the fun, like everyman, but he also could look like as the respectable, like Republican
President?
Candidate kind of idea.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now let's do King Ralph.
Great. So King Ralph,
the John
I would.
Goodman movie.
Yeah.
The King of England.
Yes.
It's
that's what happens.
It's literally the same story, but
yeah.
England.
I also.
And with John Goodman.
What are there? Let's go around the table. Everyone, pick one '90s movie that you would want to be a musical that we haven't mentioned.
Oh my God, I have one. Right
oh
away.
Yeah, Franklin Checks In.
Dunstan checks in.
Dunstan checks in.
Dunstan checks in.
I think we can find alternate theatrical solutions to create their orangutan.
Yeah.
I think that would be excellent.
Mm-hmm. I really want a Rookie of the Year musical.
Oh my god.
Or
that would be great.
Or a Sandlot musical.
See, that's
what about Angels in the Outfield?
Yes. Angels in the Outfield musical?
But I need like JGL to be like the angel.
Yeah, I agree.
I need to like do some stunt casting.
Yeah. And then I would love to see a She's All That musical.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And you have to buy the rights to This Kiss to have some, like, Broadway belters.
Yeah.
You're singing out This Kiss.
And you know.
What's the movie with Drew Barrymore where she...
Never Been Kissed.
Yes, that's what I want.
A good one.
That's what I want.
While You Were Sleeping, anyone?
A Now and Then musical?
Oh, that would be really good.
Rosie can be in it.
Ooh. Or produce.
Yeah.
Also have like a list of things.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
A Beetlejuice musical.
Is that not happening?
I don't know. Let's say his name three times and ask him.
I don't
back
know.
To On Your Feet.
Yeah.
Well, there was just one moment where there was a body double. Did you notice?
Oh, when she was on the top.
Yeah. And I was like, she just walked off stage and completed her outfit, and now she's up there. Back to us.
You know what needs to be a musical is Selena.
That's what I said. That's what needs to be a musical.
And that's going to happen.
Kevin's going to play her number one fan who kills her.
I'm all about Yolanda.
What's her last name? Do you remember her last name?
No.
Yeah,
she was extraordinary.
But Yolanda
did a 2020 interview.
Insane.
I loved
her. Oh, really?
I loved it.
I will not answer that question.
When she talks about she knows the truth and she'll tell them one day and stuff, and you're like, we also all know the truth. Like,
Slow down, buddy.
Right.
No, that'll happen.
Speaking of, I also have like a musical, like something that should be a musical that I would love to see also because I think it would never work. I want to see The Craft. And what's the belty like? I have magic.
Hocus Pocus totally. Oh,
I think that's being that's being done. That's in the works.
Taylor Swift tries to write
Hocus Pocus.
The Craft.
If they can make the Witches of Eastwick a musical,
that's true. They did make
the
Witches of
Eastwick.
It was not.
Yeah,
they were very happy with it.
The Witches of
Eastwick. The TV show.
The musical.
It was in the West End.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it was all it like wire wig.
Yeah, it's super weird.
Flying around and
But speaking of new musicals or new plays, or we're just going to do a weird segue into you guys.
Yeah.
I'd love to, before we play any games, I'd really love to hear about the development of The Woodsman from kind of like the spark of an idea to building the puppets to building the show, essentially.
We can do this. I'm going to try to
He's the spark.
I'm going to try to not make it be the rest of your show trying to explain this.
I'll give you 5 minutes.
Let's try to do it in less.
Sweet.
Great.
Okay.
Or is that timer?
So, oh my god.
Yeah.
And time how long this takes, actually.
Five minutes.
I promise you it's
going to
be.
This is your elevator pitch.
So, The Woodsman, I'll say this. The Wonderful Wizard of Oz was the first novel my mother ever read to me. Mm-hmm. So, there's a lot of emotional resonance there. It was actually the first chapter book that we ever, it was like a chapter and I kind of thing. So, it's really magical and really special. I still have that first edition, which is
That's a first edition?
It wasn't the first edition. The first edition I owned.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I was like, what are you doing theater for?
Yeah. Fun, they don't, but it's interesting because the Oz series, this is taken away from Headmans, but the Oz series is, oh, you're sweet. The Oz series is like not recognized as a piece of literature on the same level as like Alice in Wonderland.
L. Frank Baum, Elphaba.
I know, it's all right there.
I know.
God.
I know.
That's, you just forget it.
Wicked.
All right. For a while, they actually wanted us. But fun fact, because the New York Public Library
You have so
has,
many fun facts.
Yeah, I have to, like, get into it. New York Public
That's
Library has
said.
The original illustrations from the first 1899 Oz book.
Really?
Go and look at it every
day. And I was like, oh my god, I have to go find a way to get into it. It was a whole thing. I finally find what room it was in, blah, 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 blah. I go there, and I'm like, hey, I hear that you have it under this segment of the reading library, whatever. And they were like, really? And somebody looked it up and was like, oh yeah, sure. And I was like, do I need to come back in like a month to get some permission or something? They're like, oh no, just sit down. And they bring out this folder that's like about 15 pages, and it's these huge pieces of Bristol paper that have a pen in it. You can actually see the whiteout that the illustrator used to like, you can see the pencil lines.
Wow.
That he was putting Toto in different parts of the illustration. Like, amazing. You can actually see like chapter titles that were changed and like glued over. It was the most extraordinary thing. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. And it was only like a handful of the images. I went back to the librarian and was like, thank you so much. Do you want me to wear gloves or something? And she was like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, oh, okay, this is like a national treasure, but let's not talk about it.
You saw Carmen Cusack there?
Do what?
No, right.
And then apparently I was like, yeah, so there should be more illustrations. These are not all of them. And she just was like, click, click, click. Oh, yeah, there's another folder. Do you want to see that too? So it was a weird, like, like a weird, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Thing. And even there was an exhibit, there was a, they, what do you call it, like an expo there of like children's books that was happening at that time. And they had a bunch of art pieces, like framed pieces from that collection on the wall. And they had like the wrong years from when it came out. Like it was the wrong, like all the wrong information. And like me being like, you know, that's not right. It was, like,
yeah. Like, Yeah.
But it was a really interesting thing about
all of a sudden you became a tour guide.
And this really bizarre thing of like how it's a oddly sort of, we love the movie, but we don't. There's the, you know, if I was touching Alice in the London Museum, I'd be in gloves and tweezers.
Yes.
Yeah. Right here, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
I think because.
Interesting.
The books are not in the same way. Anyway, so. It was
going back. And resume.
Okay. So, first book ever read to me, and I went to a 4-year acting conservatory, and we were in our second year of Chekhov work, which was just like I needed anything else to get out of the white of Russia. And I kind of refound my love for the Oz books. I got my hands on some copies, and I started rereading them as sort of a whatever. And then we were doing another show. I started a theater company out of school. This is going really well. It's zipping along very well.
I can help soon. Don't worry.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And then we were developing another piece. We needed to put a fundraiser together for that. Our play and a party, which is a thing that we do every year. We'll talk even more about that.
Yeah,
later.
Definitely.
And we was going to do a new workshop of a new piece. And we had this. I had this idea for this short idea of the chapter in the first book of The Wizard of Oz, explaining how the Tin Man became the Tin Man. And I just wanted to, effectively, the only idea I had was that I wanted to watch a actor slowly turn into a puppet. How does that work? Can a puppet be as dynamic as an actor? Can it do, you know, I always keep saying this, but I think puppetry is sort of the CGI of theater. It can do anything. So the question is, what are you using it for? How are you using it? Does it work? Is it just a trick? Is it, can it actually reveal character the way that, like, extraordinary dance and extraordinary movement and extraordinary other things can? So the question was, can we do that? And then started making a bunch of weird puppets in my bedroom for that first workshop. We had 3 weeks to crank it out. I was like, that's fine. That was done. Bye. And then there was sort of this outpouring of responses from people that saw those two little performances in a hole in the wall in Brooklyn and sort of were really sad.
What's up, Standard Toycraft?
What's up, Standard Toycraft? Metropolitan.
And Amanda was involved this whole time as well?
Amanda was one of the few cast members that was there from the beginning.
Yep.
Cool.
And then we had an opportunity to do it again at Ars Nova at the AntFest, and then something moved over, and it was sort of like great, and we were trying to find another home for it, and it was just this thing that kind of couldn't die.
Yeah.
And it was really exciting, and we just finished our...
Well, it wasn't 59 before, the first 59 was before Ars Nova?
Ars Nova, then the first 59, then the second 59, and then...
New World Stages, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like a really extraordinary thing, so...
Cool.
Yeah, and still, you know, we did the show like 9 times, and it's wonderful. But it's still like people coming up to me, kind of going like, "I missed it." I was like, "We did it 5 times.
We did it so many times, you guys.
We can't do it anymore.
We gave you so many chances."
But like, I still didn't see it. So if you could, just...
I know. Okay, I'll start from one and start over.
Again. I thought a few times, so you could have one of mine.
Kevin, you haven't seen Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. And then after New World Stages was Broadway HD, which you can still see it on Broadway HD.
Oh, I can do that.
Yeah, Broadway HD videotaped the show. It was on PBS in New York for like 2 nights, which was the coolest thing
ever. I DVR'd it in PBS. That was awesome.
You have a DVR.
People still DVR. That's amazing.
So that was great.
How much did, that's the whole thing. That's the whole story. Am I missing any major bullet points?
You have a minute 30.
So tell us about Strange Men Co.
Well,
you can do it over a minute 30. I think that's okay.
Okay, great. It was originally started by James, Jason, and Frank. James Ortiz, Jason Ralph, and Frank Winters. I think the initial idea actually started when they were still in school. So they had this idea, and then they were out of school, and what was... Oh, there was a show that they were going to do, The Little Mermaid. It was a puppet adaptation of the Hans Christian Andersen version. Yeah. And we're doing it under the umbrella of Glass Bandits.
Small little theater company also out of SUNY Purchase. Mm-hmm. They effectively had a workshop slot that was like, hey, we have like 12 cents. Do you have a cool idea? Do you want to hang out with us? We did this weird, wacky puppet interpretation of Little Mermaid, the Pleasant version.
Yeah.
It was in the park. And they needed essentially a name for themselves as a company doing it. So it was like they established this name, Strangeman and Company, because they always thought themselves as, what was it, like your mom called Jason Strange, and he was like, what
Jason
is that? So they form the company, they have a name, and then they have a website, and there's the theater company.
Other people saw that weird puppet thing and were like, hey, I have a weird play that's nothing like that. Do you want to work with us? And it was, we read it and liked it, and then we did that, and then we did something else.
I think the moral of this story is that theater is hard, but theater is also a passion, and if you keep following that passion, great things happen, like The Woodsman, like being picked up. Like, if you really have an idea and
stick with it. I completely agree. It also is so easy to get stuck in like a place of like, will they like it?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, should it be like this? I think you get into the shoulds is when you're really in trouble.
I think this is going to be a very weird analogy, but I think that the superhero movies are having that issue right now.
DC is.
Yeah. This is what people think they want. But then Marvel comes out with Deadpool.
Yeah.
And like, they're just making what, they're staying true to that character.
Yes.
And it makes so much money and gets great reviews, whereas something like Suicide Squad or Batman vs. Superman comes out.
Suicide Squad?
Suicide Squad. Yeah. Suicide Squad was no good, but Suicide Squad?
I was living for that movie.
Well,
it was kind of like a commercial for action figures in the 90s.
That's exactly what it was.
And it was like, I'd rather watch commercials.
I think you're right, though. I think it can become an obstacle in thinking, what do people want? And let me just put out there what I think people want, because I feel what I say about Strangeman and Co., one of the things that I feel like our work translates to people, because we make stuff that we want to see, that we think is interesting, that is going to keep us interested working on it in the rehearsal room, and in the and that we're going to want to do a long run, you know, just things that we're just, this is weird, can this work? And I feel like that passion and that excitement that translates on stage, and so our audience feels us being excited, so they're interested too.
Awesome. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
So my first game.
No.
Yes. Game.
It's going off of the experimental theater world.
Goddamn.
And like the commercial.
I love that both of them started drinking as soon as she said that. Yeah.
Cheers. You know what? Cheers to your success.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks for having us on
it's,
here.
It's really...
Check them out. They're fantastic, guys.
Yeah, and that's it. No games. No, I'm kidding.
So the first game, coming from someone who works in the production office, I would like you each to take a minute and think.
Okay.
And then...
Anything? No.
You can if you want a half paper.
I don't know.
But I'd like for you to pitch me...
Oh.
Your new experimental theater piece of Dora the Explorer.
Amazing.
So, I think, listen, Dora the Explorer. What?
Dora the Explorer.
what an extraordinary piece for all children to sort of learn Spanish and also to know where the library is. Great piece. I would say it needs to be a big arena spectacular. It needs to be giant foam heads, high theatricality, like Moomin Shans. It needs to be like back bends and rolls, and the guy playing the map is actually a love interest, and then everything bursts into flame.
And you're done.
Love it.
Wow. I'm not next.
Anyone next?
I'm ready.
Kevin?
So I would do. So I would combine the like the sentiment of Dora the Explorer with like the feel of like Mystic River. So I would do a whole like SEU like Dora was like. So
that's
the
like
adult.
Jessica Hargitay?
Exactly.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So like
yeah.
Dora is when she's the lieutenant.
Yeah.
So like so Dora is like the victim of some kind of crime. Uh-huh. And then a la the show of Dora the Explorer, you go around with her partner, like Boots the monkey, and he's trying to solve her murder by going to the places that she's been to.
And that's your time.
Great.
Brian.
So my Dora the Explorer is Casablanca style. It's black and white in a noir film.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So Dora is this investigative journalist or investigator in general,
mm-hmm.
private eye, who
mm-hmm.
who is discovering the murder of Map, and she needs to follow pieces of Map
Ooh.
To find the murderer.
Ooh.
And her
then
monkey
she ends up taking her to the library.
Absolutely.
It always takes her to the library.
And then the monkey is obviously like the, you know, the play it again. Play it again,
cool.
monkey.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
and then it's kind of her going through that situation, but like it's really hardcore, and there's a lot of cigarettes. There's a ton of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the end.
Beautiful Miss Amanda.
Okay. Okay. I have a couple different ideas going through my head. And one was with Dora grown up and really jaded that she had to spend her whole life teaching little kids how to say. Spanish words, when really all you have to do is go to school now and they're going to teach you Spanish. So she's grown up and she's super jaded. She never had any real friends because she had to talk to Backpack and Map. And it's a one-woman show, and she's going to sit there for 2 hours with an intermission of 15 minutes, and that's it. Where she...
Take a nap on stage with a cigarette?
No. She's not smoking a cigarette.
Oh,
she's doing acid.
Okay, yeah.
And then she comes back after intermission and tells you the rest of her tragic story on acid.
And she teaches acting.
You quit.
Yes. Yeah.
She's your acting coach.
Yeah.
I think I know the one in my
opinion. I mean, I shall I get a prize?
Yes. Do it. What did she win?
The Daddy Long Legs.
Oh, so cool.
It's really wonderful.
Thank you.
Are we ready for another game, guys?
Yeah.
Great.
Games.
Kevin has a game.
Kevin has a game.
Okay, so I'm trying out the Game Master role this time.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to break into teams of two. So
Kimberly was sick.
So I'm going to have Amanda and Brian on a team. And Kimberly and James on a team. And so this is how... Can you give each team a piece of paper and explain the right way? Okay.
Yay.
So because the Woodsman is inspired by something that was a famous...
Oh, yeah. Should we come up with team names?
Sure.
Great.
Team names are always a good thing.
Okay.
Well, we already picked up.
So while you guys are talking about team names, I'm going to explain the game.
Okay.
So basically, because the Woodsman was a show that's on stage, but it was also... inspired in part by
no one's listening
movie.
To you, Gavin.
Sorry,
we're talking about
going.
This game is called That's a Good Year, like Broadway style.
My favorite year?
Favorite year.
Right.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you a list of movies that were nominated for Best Picture but did not win,
mm-hmm.
and a list of musicals that were nominated for Best Musical but did not win in the same year,
okay.
and you're going to try to guess what year this was.
Oh,
wow.
God.
Great.
Nailed it.
Okay.
So
I'll be good at it.
Okay,
you can
good.
Get extra credit points if you can name the movie or musical that actually won.
Oh, I'm going to kill this.
Oh,
so,
okay,
but,
cool.
So that's
Brian
a little like, caveat. So it's, you're trying to guess
the
year, but if you can guess either one that won, you're good.
Okay.
Kimberly's going to be really great at all the musicals and stuff because she's got that down pat. She's watching the Tonys every single year.
And
Brian's got a lot of movie stuff.
1990.
Perfect. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read them out and we're going to see how this goes. This is my first time making a game, so we'll see if it works.
Great.
Okay. So the first one we're going to do is... So the movies that were nominated but did not win were The Curious Case of Benjamin Button... Frost Nixon, which also started on stage, Milk, and The Reader.
Okay.
That same year, the musicals that were nominated that did not win were Cry Baby, Passing Strange, and Xanadu.
Okay.
What year was this very good year? All right, so we're moving on to number two, unless you need to hear those again. Can we move on?
Oh, we're going through all of them.
Yes.
We're not going to do it right ahead
and
there.
I was going to do like a pub quiz and then just style it out.
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Okay, got it. Okay, great.
Okay.
So the next one.
Yeah, I don't know.
The movies that were nominated but did not win are Chocolat, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh, my God.
Traffic, and Aaron Brockovich.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
The musicals that were nominated but did not win were Swing, The Wild Party, the Chusa version, and James Joyce's The Dead. Remember, they're trying to guess the year, but they're also trying to
Kevin, this is really hard.
It's very hard. I'm not going to know any of
this. I'm sorry, I tried.
No, it's not that it's bad, it's just hard for me.
All right, so we're going to move on to the next one. This is number three.
That's 2011.
How many questions are there?
There's
37.
More wrinkles.
There's six.
Six. Okay.
All right, so number three.
Okay. Oh my gosh,
the
there's so many
that
of them.
The movies that did not win are American Sniper, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. The musicals that did not win were After Midnight, Aladdin, and Beautiful, the Carole King musical. Next. All
right,
so...
It's really stressful. Okay, great.
I'm really freaking out right now.
I'm sorry. All right, the movies that did not win this year are Fargo, Jerry Maguire, Secrets and Lies, and Shine.
Never heard of any.
The musicals that did not...
Jerry Maguire?
Well, Jerry Maguire.
Okay.
The musicals that did not win were Bringing to Noise, Bringing Defunct, Chronicle of a Death Foretold,
that's
and
why
Swinging
these
on a Star.
I love those.
Right, I don't know what any of those are.
My high school did all of those.
If I wasn't drinking, I'd know every answer.
Brian's like understanding of movie trivia is very boggling. It's insane. Round five. The movies that did not win this year are Amour, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, Les Miserables, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty. The musicals that did not win in this year were Leap of Faith.
Oh, I like that.
Newsies, and Nice Work If You Can Get It. We only have one more after this. You're almost through. I'm sorry I'm stressing you out.
I'm not stressed because I know that I'm going to suck at
I'm
what
freaking
wins.
Out, bro.
I know, it's really important to Brian. All right, so we're going on to number six. The final one. In this year, the movies that were nominated but did not win.
I'm also freaking out because Oscars are in different years than the movies. So, like, if an Oscars was in... If the Oscars were in... Exactly. So that, I'm probably going to be off by maybe a year in places.
So the movies that were nominated but did not win in this final year...
Okay.
...are Lost in Translation, Mystic River, Seabiscuit, and Master and Commander Far Side of the World. The musicals that were nominated but did not win were Amour, A Year of Frog and Toad, and Moving Out.
This is their Tony season.
Tony season and Broadway season.
But that overlaps years.
I hope the listeners are stressed out.
So Tony's happen in June.
I know that, but
So
if it
overlaps
in September, you say the
it's
year
a fun game.
June.
Just go with it. Okay.
You say the June year.
So we're going to see who won. Correct. So I'm going to go through each round, and we're going to see who won.
Cool.
So the first round, round one, the year was 2008.
We did two extra points.
Here we go. So extra points. So
wait, you didn't even look at. I could lie. I could change things right now.
I trust you.
Okay.
Mistake.
2008 is the year the movie was Slumdog Millionaire.
Got it.
In the Heights.
And the musical was In the Heights.
Yes, I knew Slumdog.
Keep track of your own points. What you get right.
Okay.
So we got two. We have 2 points as well.
Great.
All right. So
we're gonna get. Yeah.
So round two. The year is 2000.
Okay.
What did you guys say?
2000.
And the winner of the Oscar was Gladiator.
Got it.
And the winner of the Tony for Best Musical was Contact.
Did not get that.
Has anyone seen that?
Oh,
it was a
I
beautiful
did see
show
that.
With the red
that.
Dress.
That was
or
in my
yellow
dress. Theater
trick. It was really beautiful.
Because I knew that Russell Crowe won the same year as, what's her name?
Yes.
Julia Roberts. Yes.
For Erin Brockovich, for yes. sure.
And Brockovich won that year?
She did.
She
did.
Won for Ellen
Brockovich. I remember the dress.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember the boobs.
Number three.
Yeah.
The movie that... So the year was 2014.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The movie that won Best Picture was Birdman.
Yeah.
Or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance.
Yep, because it was the bees. It was Boyhood versus Birdman.
Correct.
And I loved Budapest.
Oh, but
you loved Budapest.
I loved Budapest as well.
And the musical that won Best Musical in 2014 was The Gentleman's Guide to Lincoln.
Got that, too.
Lauren Worsham, giggling all day, every day.
You're amazing.
Amanda and I are killing it.
Yeah, we're great.
Amanda's really good at this game, you guys.
I did the years, all right?
All right, so number four. The year was 1996.
What'd you guys say? We said 98.
Actually, you said 98.
No, man.
I actually did say 96.
The movie that won Best Picture was The English Patient.
Ding!
The best musical in 1996 was Rent.
Oh.
We got all those wrong.
Yeah.
I thought it was
99,
and I said Ragtime.
2012 was number five.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Winner of Best Musical was Once, Argo won Best Picture.
That's correct. So round six.
Yeah, you're right.
Can I? So it's 2004.
Yeah. It's 2003.
And it was Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
2003.
Correct.
And
the musical was... You can't stop the beat.
Was Hairspray. We have 11 points total.
Okay, what do you guys have?
Two, four, six, seven.
It was really good, even though it was
Hairspray.
Fragments.
What was your team name?
Oh, we were the gonna beat you no matter what team.
The what?
Gonna beat you no matter what.
Yeah, you're right. Gotta beat you no matter what.
No, gonna beat you no matter what.
Oh, got it. We were the Demogorgon.
Lights of Broadway.
Lights of Broadway time.
And tell us, guys, about what you guys have in store.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the 14th and the 15th
of
October.
So, this weekend.
Next week, yeah.
Well, this upcoming weekend.
That's correct.
Because today is the 11th, if you're listening. we are doing our annual Strange Men & Co. benefit, which we like to call a play and a party. It is pretty much what it sounds like. We showcase something new that we are working on.
Cool.
It's always in development, a work in progress, if you will. And then we have a party afterwards. This
gives it all away.
Exactly. Spoiler alert.
Playing a party.
This year we're doing a sneak preview of our latest work in development, which is a collaboration between Frank Winters and Jill Echo. It's called 10 Days in a Madhouse, and it's based off of the book of the same name written by Nellie Bly.
Mm-hmm.
It's the piece is really, really cool because it's a marriage of Frank's writing and Jill's choreography and movement work.
Cool.
So it's got dance and stylized movement.
Where can we get tickets?
Go to strangemenandcompany.com.
And where is it?
It is going to be at the Bernie Wall Center, which is in the Goddard Riverside Community Center.
So the Bernie Sanders Community Center.
Bernie Wall.
Oh, great. Bernie Sanders Community Center.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders.
Which is up on like one.
It is, between 92nd and 93rd, I believe, on Columbus.
Cool. So everyone go see a play and a party, and go see a play and have a party.
I'll be there, so come meet Broadwasted Kevin Jager.
James and I will both be there.
Yeah.
And we will all be Broadwasted.
Go, Amanda. Sorry.
Booze and food. That's important.
Oh, and now I'll be there because I heard that.
Yeah, free popcorn.
And you guys, you want to see these people are doing a play and party because a play and party is what spawned Woodsman, which is now on Broadway HD and was off Broadway. And critically lauded, so definitely want to be there.
So we just gave you Lights of Broadway cards. Pick the one that you got in it and tell us three words that make you that it makes you feel.
Great.
What do you mean, the one that
pick
we got?
One card.
Pick random one.
Okay.
I'll
say the two that I'm most thrilled about really quickly. I'm so thrilled that I got Alex Timbers. What's up?
He literally looks like that cartoon.
He actually looks just like this. I also got Bloody Boy Andrew Jackson, the musical. Mm-hmm. So first I was like, oh, it's that dude, but it's just the
musical. Just the musical.
Right. But even better, great.
He's Benjamin Walker, he's really hot. That's amazing.
No, I didn't see American Psycho.
Oh, it's wonderful. He yeah, he was basically naked. It was wonderful.
It was okay.
Yeah, everybody could see it.
It was enough.
And yeah. Amanda.
We knew what was happening.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about my Jesse Mueller card. Because Waitress. Uh-huh. Because everyone should see Waitress. Because it's really good, you guys. The script is really great.
It's about Kevin.
It is about
it's
Kevin.
It's all about my life.
The directing is amazing. The music is Sarah Bareilles, so you know that it's good, but it's not, you don't feel like, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's just Sarah Bareilles. No, it isn't, because it goes really well with the story. I was third row, and it was, it's fun. There are a lot of details that are within the choreography and the movement and everything and the songs themselves that,
we're big choreographers.
Are great. Yeah.
And I see you also have Leslie Margarita,
friend of the show.
Leslie, we found your card.
Olivier Award winner. But we want to thank you guys so much
thank
for joining
you
us.
So much. It was so fun.
This was so much fun. Thank
so
you
great.
For letting us get schwitzy with you.
As we end every episode, we end it with a quote. Mm-hmm. And that is, the best of times is now. What's left of summer but a faded rose? The best of times is now. As for tomorrow, well, who knows? Who knows? Who knows?
You know that's true because we're in fall now.
I know.
And fall is the best of times.
I agree.
It's true.
What is that from?
I've been ending your sweater this whole time.
La Caja Fou.
We end every episode. Yeah. We end every episode the same way. So cheers to everyone.
I need more tequila.
Oh, I think we
finished. Grape juice. I don't really
know. On three. One, two, three. Zoot doo wop bop.
Wait, well, I think I missed what I was supposed to do.
Okay, yeah. Let's do it. Zoot doo wop bop.
What am I supposed to do?
It's
from Grease. One, two, three.
Zoot doo wop bop.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Make sure you go to A Play and a Party.
Yes.
Also, make sure you check out The Woodsman on Broadway HD.
Yeah.
Thank you so much,
James and
Amanda.
Get your tickets ahead of time.
Yeah.
For A Play and a Party.
Amen.
And you'll be listening to us next week. And hopefully, and that'd be great. Thanks, everyone. And
talk to you guys.
L'chaim. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Or as I like to say, okay, hi.
Okay, love you.
That
bye.
Was it.
Okay, hi.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.